Your advisement. We'll move on to the second case of the morning. This is Latino Food Marketers Doll versus Ole Mexican Foods. Mr. Hudson.
Good morning. May it please the court. I am Kevin Hudson, and I represent Ole Mexican Foods, the appellant in this case. Ole stands by all errors outlined in its brief, but would like to focus initially on the trial court's failure to give the pattern jury instruction that acceptance may be inferred from the conduct of the parties. There is no question under Wisconsin law that that is a correct statement, nor is there a dispute that Latino contended that that legal principle was embodied in some other aspect of a jury charge presented at trial. Instead, Latino persuaded the trial court to alter the pattern jury instruction by contending that the evidence did not support that acceptance could be inferred from the conduct of the parties. The cameo decision holds that Ole is entitled to have the jury instructed on any legal theory that is supported by any direct or any circumstantial evidence, in agreeing with Latino that the evidence did not support acceptance by conduct. The trial court erred because it failed to properly construe the evidence from an inference in terms of in favor of giving the charge. Specifically, the trial court erred on the Latino side of the equation. Instead of evaluating the evidence and saying it could go either way, the trial court viewed it in a light most favorable to Latino. Both sides agree that the critical issue in this case was whether Ole accepted Latino's offer for an exclusive relationship. The omitted charge goes directly to that issue. It was not harmless error. The jury could have concluded that Ole simply failed to carry the burden of proof on the signature issue, but would not have received the benefit of the charge that Ole could have proven acceptance through conduct. That demonstrates the harm. The proper question...
Seemed like the thrust of the defense was that there was a contract, not that there was acceptance of it by conduct. Seems like that was the emphasis of the defense here.
We argued three forms of acceptance, Your Honor.
Not the defense, the offense, I guess.
Correct. From the inception of this case, the motion to dismiss, we argued that acceptance was proven by performance. And there was a good reason for that.
Maybe I didn't make that clear, but I thought all the emphasis in this case seemed to be from the forum selection clause, everything, was that we had a valid contract and they broke it. Not that, well, maybe we didn't have a valid contract in writing, but it was conduct that indicated acceptance by that.
That is correct. The issue is, though, that valid contract was formed. In other words, that form selection clause contained in that contract. That valid contract was formed by one of three things, which are not mutually exclusive: performance, oral acceptance, which is the basis of our motion for directed verdict, and the signature.
Yes, but okay. But I thought, as I looked at this, that the emphasis of the defense, and this goes to, I guess, jury instructions, whether they adequately gave you an opportunity to win the case. If you're, the bulk of your defense is that we had this contract, that somebody came up with the signed contract, at least a version of it, and the jury apparently didn't believe there was a signed agreement here. If the total emphasis or the major emphasis of your claim rests on the fact that there was this contract, why would it be anything other than harmless error if the instructions didn't go to acceptance of the contract by conduct?
Because the jury instruction in the specific verdict form deals with acceptance, Your Honor. And acceptance can be formed under Wisconsin law in three ways. It can be formed by performance, by oral acceptance, or by a signature. And so we contend that, yes, we believe that our primary thrust was that they were bound by this contract, but we were precluded from presenting to the jury that they could have resolved the acceptance issue in Olay's favor by resolving that Olay's performance and the performance of Latino demonstrated that that contract, in fact, was binding between the parties. And therein lies the error, because the jury could reasonably have found that Olay did not carry the burden as to the signature. There certainly, as the record reflects, was ample debate about whether the contract was signed or not, given when it was located. But Olay was deprived of the opportunity to present to the jury that acceptance of that contract could have been formed by performance. And there was at least 11 examples in the record from which the jury could have concluded that acceptance could have been inferred from the conduct of the parties. First, throughout September, October, and November, Latino pounded Olay about getting an exclusive contract and then suddenly stopped and began supplying Olay. Second, Latino sent a letter to Olay on October 16th, 2001, saying that they would not continue to supply Olay with its private label cheese in the absence of the parties executing a written agreement. And the reason for that had to do with their milk contracts. Latino then goes on to supply Olay exclusively for a year and a half. That is evidence of Latino's conduct from which a jury could infer acceptance. Third, Latino changed the price term in terms of when payment was due from Olay. The invoices that were originally provided to Olay prior to the October 16th letter had a net payment due of 21 days. That was changed in the latter part of October to 30 days. And 30 days is exactly what is called for by the contract. Again, the jury could have looked at that and inferred that that conduct is evidence of acceptance. Fourth, Latino named Olay as an additional insured within 30 days of the period of time that Olay contends the contract was formed. That is exactly what was called for by the contract. Again,
they named some other customers too, didn't it?
That's correct, Your Honor, and we don't dispute that there are multiple ways to look at it. But in terms of the standard established by Cameo, the district court should have evaluated that evidence, which she heard, as being evidence that weighed in favor of a presumption that acceptance could be inferred from conduct of the parties.
What did that insurance cover?
That insurance, I believe, covered the risks associated with the cheese itself. In other words, they estimated $6 million worth of cheese purchases by Olay through the period of time of 2000-2002. That was the estimate, also evidence from which a jury could infer conduct, and it turned out to be $7
million. Well, but as far as insuring, that's not something you wouldn't do unless you had a contract, is it?
Well, we believe that that's exactly right, that you wouldn't insure without a contract.
No, I mean you would insure. Isn't that mutual protection?
If your question is would you insure with or without a contract,
well, yeah.
Right. Then I think the answer to that is, again, there's no question that evidence could be viewed in one of two ways, but Olay was denied the opportunity to have the jury resolve how that evidence should be weighed. And the district court took it upon itself to resolve that against Olay in denying the charge that acceptance may be inferred from conduct.
It's an abuse of discretion standard, isn't it?
No, it is not, Your Honor. An error of law is, by definition, an abuse of discretion. The cases that talk about the trial court having discretion to formulate a charge deal with the language. In other words, what language is included in the charge. But the Cameo decision and also the Alouette decision cited by Latino stand for the proposition quite clearly that it is error as a matter of law to fail to instruct the jury on a legal principle when the evidence exists, direct or circumstantial, to support that charge. And that's what took place here. So it is not an abuse of discretion standard. The matter was properly presented to the court. We argued at the charge conference that there is evidence in the record that supports performance. The district court was fully aware of that evidence. She sat through the 2 weeks of trial just like we did. In addition to that, there had been a prior hearing, and the hearing was on the motion to dismiss, and the court will recall that she had an evidentiary hearing. The order that established the evidentiary hearing contemplated that Olay could prove acceptance by performance and by signature. The order denying the motion to dismiss contemplated that Olay could prove acceptance by performance and or signature. And it appears that the district court resolved whether, in her mind's eye, the evidence established performance, not by giving an inference in favor of that which could weigh 50-50, that which the jury, as the arbiter of fact, should have resolved, simply resolved it against Olay time and time again.
What was the court's reason when, the Latino objected to the instruction, and she said, yeah, that's right, something. What was the reason she gave for not including it?
She agreed with the argument made by Mr. Bolton on behalf of Latino that there was no evidence in the record to support inclusion of that charge in this case, and she said, yes, that's right. And we said, no, that's not right. The evidence in the record plainly does establish it. I've listed 5 out of the 11 points. It's also noteworthy that the trial court indicated that she found it difficult to believe how Latino could understand that Olay was purchasing exclusively. And yet, Garcia, a principal of Latino, testified that he understood the black marlin was in the boat. And specifically, he testified that he understood that Mr. Leal, the head of Latino, had secured Olay purchasing exclusively. In addition, there was an internal memorandum that was presented that indicated their only concern was how big Olay was going to get, and that same memorandum discussed the need to get exclusive contracts with others, but not the need to get an exclusive contract from Olay. Thus, in totality, the evidence on balance would have allowed the jury to weigh this. They would have been allowed to say, was there evidence of signature? We can't decide. Was there evidence of oral acceptance? Don't know. Was there evidence of performance? They were denied that opportunity. That is an error of law to fail to give that legal instruction to the jury.
She evaluated the evidence differently than you do. Is that an error of law, or is that an abuse of discretion?
No, the abuse of discretion comes from the fact that she failed to give any weight at all to the evidence. And the standard in Cameo and the standard in Alouette is any direct or circumstantial evidence is sufficient to give the charge. In other words, this is a rare example, perhaps in this case, of where Olay does get the benefit of an inference. And in this case, Olay did not receive the benefit of an inference. The evidence could go either way. There's certainly arguments on either side, but that's precisely what a jury is meant to resolve. They were not given that opportunity because the charge was not presented to them. I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hudson. Ms. Meyer?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Marta Myers. I'm here with Catherine Cetrangelo. We are a counsel for Latino food marketers and Mexican cheese producers.
During that 3-day hearing on the forum selection clause, was the argument of Olay that there was a signed written contract, or was their argument
I think the argument, Your Honor, was on 2 of the 3 grounds that Olay is now insisting that they could prove the existence of the contract. In other words, they argued at the preliminary hearing that there was acceptance, number 1, oral acceptance, and number 2, written acceptance by virtue of the written contract. They did not argue conduct. And, in fact, they filed a motion at the preliminary hearing to prohibit Latino from showing conduct post the negotiation periods that would show the existence or non-existence of the contract. And that's one of the ironies of this case, because at the time, Judge Crabb ruled that the conduct of the parties was material to whether the parties believed there was a contract. So the fact that they're now complaining about the failure of the jury instruction is rather ironic, but it was not prejudicial error to Olay. It was harmless error when Olay says that, well, you know, this error was on Latino side of the equation, that's not quite true, because that instruction might have helped Latino just as much as it would have helped Olay. We had all sorts of evidence about how the party's conduct was completely inconsistent with having entered into this contract, including an email that was sent 2 weeks after Ms. Moreno had supposedly signed this contract, in which the principal for Latino said, Mrs. Moreno doesn't want to sign the contract. That's just one example of about 20 different pieces of evidence that ultimately went to Judge Crabb during the initial hearing and went to the jury in our eight-day trial in April of 2004.
You're conceding it was error, though, but it was harmless. Is that true?
Well, I'm not conceding it's error because, number one, Olay did not articulate the grounds. They were all over the board about what they were really objecting to. And I believe that, Judge Evans, your question kind of gets to the heart of it, that really the thrust of their case really was that she had signed this contract. And the whole case does come down to credibility. Did Olay enter into this contract, either by oral acceptance, the directed verdict, by having signed the contract, or by their conduct? The jury did not believe Olay on any of those grounds. They heard all of it, and it all came down to credibility. But we do not believe that they preserved that objection at the time. However, you know, if the court said, okay, maybe there should have been instruction about this, it was not harmless error, and the Cameo decision supports a ruling that it be affirmed and that you not have a remand on a jury instruction. Because if there is a failure, you have to show that, and I'm reading from the case, that the requested instruction might have been given in another format, which there was an instruction on the contract, and I think it could be found in there. Secondly, if there's a general instruction given without the specific theory of the case being presented and the party's theory of the case is apparent throughout the course of the trial, well, that really was what happened, because Olay got in all this evidence that they're now suggesting shows that the conduct of the parties proved a contract. So they were able to present this, and it was in line with their whole multiple theories on having entered the contract.
Did your side also argue conduct as far as getting the evidence in of why that conduct would demonstrate there was not a contract?
I'm sorry, Judge.
The conduct, you said earlier that this could have gone both ways. They objected to your relying on conduct. I'm just asking, in the trial, did the conduct from Latino's point of view come in?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There was evidence in the record that, you know, no one from Olay ever never had anything in writing about the contract for 17 months after the supposedly multi-million-dollar contract had been entered. It was more the absence of evidence. There was no indication that there was any written attempt to enforce the contract, no written attempt to administer this multi-million-dollar contract. We had testimony from Latino's witnesses that when their salesperson for the southeastern United States came on board in March of 2002, he wasn't made aware of any signed contract with one of their major customers. So there was evidence from all fronts about conduct of the parties leading up to the supposed entrance of the contract and then beyond. So in any event, we do not believe that the jury instruction was a prejudicial error under Rule 61, under Cameo, which they cite, or under the facts of the case. Now, when the court asks the question about why did the judge say, yeah, you're right, it really goes to Mr. Bolton's argument that also Judge Evans brought up about the heart of the case that Olay really was relying upon was this credibility about having actually signed the contract. That was the heart of the case. That was everything. And everything really did kind of rise and fall with this contract. Did it exist? Did it not exist? Whether orally, in writing, or by conduct. The jury didn't buy any of it. Now, Mr. Hudson has not addressed any of the other perceived errors, and he's reserved a lot of time. I guess I'll use my time to just briefly talk about why those errors were not errors. And he's only talked about three issues on reply. Of course, his brief in chief mentioned six errors. I think he's probably abandoned three grounds. But another ground that he cites is the directed verdict. We think that's an easy call. Clearly, it was not undisputed about the oral acceptance. The record itself shows that the two principals had different testimony about what was agreed to when. Mr. Leal actually testified that he said, make the changes. And according to Olay, that means that there was oral acceptance. When he says to her, go ahead and make the changes, it doesn't make any sense. The jury didn't believe that either. So we believe that the court acted appropriately in not directing a verdict on allegedly undisputed evidence because it was disputed. Even if it had been undisputed somehow by the record, which we think the record belies that, the cases are pretty clear, and the case cited by Olay, that the jury was free to disregard undisputed evidence. So even if somehow the record says there was oral acceptance by Ms. Moreno, no one contradicted her, the jury was free to disregard her testimony on that because obviously the jury did not believe Olay in other respects. So on the directed verdict, we believe that we have strong grounds for affirmance. The more interesting question is the summary judgment on the fraud claim that was raised by Olay. We think that should be affirmed on all counts. We had briefed the multiple reasons why. We believe that the district court acted appropriately in considering the record that was submitted by Olay at the time of summary judgment. On appeal, Olay has attempted to introduce additional facts in support of that. We don't think that that is proper or allowable, and that the court is limited to the proposed findings as found by the trial court below on summary judgment. Under those findings, they did not establish grounds for fraud, intentional fraud. In addition, the court found that there was no reasonable reliance by Olay in making these allegations of fraud when, in their own counterclaim, they had said that the principal had talked with the principal of Latino, had stated that, Mr. Leal told me this and that. He later told me something different. We continued to do business. And the trial court correctly found that obviously there was not reasonable reliance based on Olay's own admissions in its counterclaim. Finally, we had asked the court below to dismiss the fraud claim on the economic loss doctrine, and we believe that's also a solid basis upon which to bar the fraud claim that's been raised by Olay. Under the ever-evolving economic loss doctrine, we believe that the fraud and the inducement exception really would not apply here because the two
Judge
terms.
Judge Crabb pretty carefully went into that whole problem, though, didn't she?
She did, and it was a very interesting discussion, and it's clear that the Seventh Circuit and the Supreme Court of Wisconsin and the District Court of Wisconsin might have different ideas about how narrowly drawn that fraud and the inducement exception can be. However, the two terms or the two alleged misrepresentations here, from Latino's perspective, clearly could have been or should have been part of a contract. After all, what had Olay been negotiating in the fall of 2001, if not those very terms? So it seems that if ever you were going to have terms interwoven with a contract, it would be a term of price.
So you're putting sort of a should have had a contract gloss on the economic loss doctrine, as opposed to having a contract.
They could have bargained for those terms. And, actually, the price term was there. It was there. So then it was down to the other alleged misrepresentation about doing business with Olay's customers. And if that had been something that was so important to Olay, again, why wouldn't that be part of a contract? So from Latino's perspective, we just disagree with Judge Crabb as far as how narrow the exception should be. We believe that it would be completely appropriate to apply the economic loss doctrine in this case. And as a whole, if the court looks at the counterclaim filed by Olay, the 17-count counterclaim, it is very clear, it is very apparent that everything that was alleged rose and fell with this contract. Everything did. there are losses that resulted from their alleged causes of action are purely economic losses. There can be no doubt about that. So for those reasons, we believe that the summary judgment decision should be upheld. The decision on the directed verdict is an easy call as well. The standard is clear. Olay can't meet the burden. And I'd be happy to answer any other questions you might have about our position. Otherwise, I'll sit down.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hudson? Okay. You've got 6.5 minutes.
I'd like to address four misconceptions in this rebuttal. Number one is that Olay has abandoned areas of its briefs simply because it chose not to focus on it. That's not the case. We stand by what we've said in the briefs, and we choose to focus attention on what we can in a limited time period. Second, that the motion that was filed prior to the evidentiary hearing somehow alters the view of performance versus signature. That motion, by its terms, dealt with the notion of proving a contract through the signature in conformity with the Wisconsin statute on the presumption. That error is fully briefed before this court. In other words, to the extent that the presumption under Wisconsin law is that if both parties testify that they signed the contract, that document then becomes authenticated. It would be inappropriate and it would be against the presumption to go back against that presumption by challenging it based on date. But if you're going to allow that challenge to take place, the party who should appropriately bear the burden of proof on that would have been Latino. That didn't take place in the hearing and the charge wasn't given in the trial court, and we've briefed that error. The third misconception is the notion that at the trial conference, somehow there was not a discussion of the basis of what was going on with respect to the evidence and the notion of performance, and that, as Judge Evans pointed out, that the real issue was what was the heart of the case. I think if the court looks in the record of the charge conference, and the easiest place to find it is on page 33 and 34 of the appendix submitted by Latino, the court will see a full and complete discussion of the same evidence that's being argued here today. Specifically, Mr. Bolton raised the question that Olay never argued any other means of acceptance. In fact, the trial court found that she didn't think that was true. From there, a discussion took place between myself, the trial court, and Mr. Bolton around the very context of the conduct that would show acceptance. Specifically, I argued to her that the situation was not the same, that this was a contract formed under duress. In other words, the October 16th letter caused a change in circumstance such that the week and a half of Olay buying from Latino was irrelevant because Latino had said they wouldn't go forward in the absence of having a contract, and then suddenly stops all these efforts to get exclusivity and supplies Olay for the next year and a half. That is evidence of conduct from which the jury could infer acceptance. But the district court said that, in her view, she lacked an ability to appreciate how Latino would know that Olay, in fact, was performing. And the answer to that is twofold. Number one is, that's not the proper inference. That's not the standard under Cameo. The standard is, was there evidence in the record from which the jury could reach that conclusion? And Ms. Myers, on her argument, even says that. She says there was evidence on both sides, going to the point that is she conceding error and now arguing that it's harmless? But there's error on both sides. That's exactly when a jury should resolve it, particularly when the specific verdict question put to the jury is, did Olay accept the offer? That's the question on the jury verdict form. Was there acceptance? Now, if you don't give the pattern instruction completely, that acceptance can be inferred from conduct, and there is no other charge in this record that addresses that, the jury is deprived of that opportunity, and so is Olay. Olay is not in a position to present this evidence as it's done today, the same evidence, admittedly, that was presented, but not in a position for the jury to appreciate that that is a mechanism from which the jury can find that Olay, in fact, accepted the contract. And it is absolutely harmful error, and the reason is this is straightforward. There is a debacle at a minimum about whether this contract was signed. We contend that that derives from the fact that the court failed to properly honor the Wisconsin presumption, because the presumption says signature means it's authentic. But nonetheless, given the road that went down as to whether a contract that's admittedly signed by Latino and which Olay is contending it signed, it was drafted by Olay's attorneys, has tremendous benefits in it for Olay, and yet it's contended that Olay would have rejected a contract drafted by its attorneys and signed by Latino. Given that context, it's entirely appropriate for a jury to hear that they can find acceptance by performance. And the reason is this.
There were some important changes, at least a couple changes that Latino made in the proposed contract.
Well, the critical change was exclusivity. That is the critical change.
That's what the whole thing was
and
about.
Exactly, which is why the evidence of performance, that they performed and honored exclusivity, should have been given to the jury. Because the jury needs to appreciate that when Olay performs exclusively, Mr. Garcia testifies he knew they were doing that, you've got all of these actions taken by Latino which are entirely consistent with the contract, most specifically that they stop hounding Olay for exclusivity. And it's obvious that Latino was not satisfied with the fact that Olay had, quote, bought exclusively in the past or favored uniformity. If they were satisfied with that, they wouldn't have spent 2 months diligently pursuing exclusivity at every turn, only to stop at a point in time when Olay begins buying exclusively. And that's the reason for it, because the jury could sit back in that deliberation room and reasonably say, you know what? We may not believe Mr. Leal. We don't know whether we believe Mrs. Moreno. We can't decide on the signature issue whether acceptance happened that way. And in the absence of an ability to decide because of the Wisconsin statute not being given, Olay bears the burden of proof on that. They wouldn't then have had the benefit of saying, can we go further and find acceptance from performance? One note on the summary judgment before I conclude, and that is simply this. It is absolutely not correct that we are trying to present evidence to this court that was not in the summary judgment record. There were 8 proposed findings of fact. They are numbers 40, 48, 49, 78, and 82. They were not stricken by the trial court. This is not a situation under Brasic or Waldridge. And those findings of fact are supported by the hearing testimony and the deposition testimony. They show the misrepresentations regarding price and reasonable reliance. And the Supreme Court of Wisconsin's recent decision of insurance company NA versus Cease, found at 688 Northwestern 2nd, 462, stands for the proposition that in a commercial, may I complete?
Finish up.
Thank you. Stands for the proposition that in a commercial context involving services, that the economic loss rule does not apply. It's a November 2004 decision, and the decision says that the reason the economic loss rule does not apply is because the economic loss rule is intended to go to quality and consistency issues in products. Now, the misrepresentation that form the alternative post-contract misrepresentations that Olay relies on for its fraud claim go to price and customer protections. Those could not be protected by warranty claims. It was error to preclude the jury from hearing the fraud claim. Thank you.
Thanks very much to both counsel. This case will be taken under advisement.